Well, good morning, everyone. It is a joy to see you today, and especially those of you that are guests in our service today. We thank you so much for being with us. One of my members in my former church sent me a caption today, and I didn't have time to get Naomi to put it on the screen for you, but I thought you would appreciate it. This is the steeple and the cross on top of the steeple, and you might notice there's two black objects, if you can see that far, right on top of that steeple, on top of that cross. When we built that sanctuary, I actually went up in the lift and screwed that cross in to the top of that steeple. What I really want you to appreciate is down here it says, they saw the Christ child and bowed down and worshiped him. You'll get it in a minute. They were buzzards on the cross, and they saw the Christ child, and they bowed down and worshiped him. My Bible says, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Now, they may not know what they're doing. They're just buzzards. But they were created by God for a purpose. And I know that sounds a little crass maybe this morning to open this message with, but I just wanted to share that with you because, listen. One day, the Bible says, all creation will give him praise. All creation. Think about that. All creation will give him praise. Just had to share it with you. Let it soak in. All creation will give him praise. During the month of December, we collect Lottie Moon Christmas offering. 100 pennies of every dollar you give goes straight to our international missionaries. Last year, we took in over $16,000 to help our missionaries out. I encourage you to dig deep in your pockets and give for your Lottie Moon Christmas offering this year. We'll close it out at the end of the year. So 2 weeks from today, does anybody know what 2 weeks from today is? It'll be the Christmas day. We'll have worship at 11 o'clock now. Keep that in mind. No Sunday school. Worship at 11 o'clock. Listen carefully. New Year's Day, we will have Sunday school 10:30. 9:15. Worship at 10:30. So we're looking forward to having you with us then. The twins are well, and Joni's getting better. Pray for Miss Roma. She has pneumonia. And I told somebody late last night, I texted him, I said, there was a time I believe God answered my prayers, but I've been praying for my wife, and she's been getting sicker. Then the thought came to me, well, it could be me. So, there's times of reflection that we examine our lives, we examine ourselves. And we allow God and His Holy Spirit to search deep into our hearts and deep into our lives. So this message today is a little different. Why would God call His Son out of Egypt? Why would He send Him down there in the first place? What does that have to do with us today? As we approach this Christmas season and as we are looking at all that's transpiring and taking place in our world today and all that's happening, what does that mean for us today as believers, as born-again children of God, men and women, young people and children that have experienced the mercy and the grace and the love of the Lord Jesus Christ? So take your Bibles and turn with me to Matthew chapter 2, and stand with me, and we'll begin reading at verse 13. As we honor God's word and the reading of it, beginning at verse 13. Matthew chapter 2 and verse 13. And when they were departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeareth to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt. And be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night, and they departed into Egypt. And they were there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, out of Egypt have I called my son. Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceedingly angry. And he sent forth and he slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and all in its regions and coasts that were 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, "In Ramah there was a voice heard, lamentation and weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and would not be comforted because they are not. But when Herod was dead, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, Arise and take the young child and his mother and go into the land of Israel, for they are dead who sought the young child's life. And he arose and took the young child and his mother, and he came into the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus did reign instead in Judea, in the place of his father, Herod was afraid to go down there. Notwithstanding being warned of God in a dream, he returned aside and came into parts of Galilee. And he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets, He shall be called a Nazarene." In this text this morning, we see three prophetic scriptures fulfilled in the advent of Jesus Christ in His first coming. We're going to deal with that first one. Thank you, and you may be seated. Prophecy utterances always have a latent and a deeper meaning than it first appears when the prophecy is given. In other words, there is an immediate application and an immediate interpretation, but also a much greater and a future meaning and application from the prophetic scriptures. There are several things that we need to glean for this text today. And as we look at this text, how is this applicable to us today in 21st century America, in the American church, and as we as American believers living today, or even worldwide for that matter, but specifically because of us? If we're not careful, we can look at America and America can become an Egypt to us. We can see the parallels of the Egypt in that day and the Egypt today. Israel nationally was a son. Exodus chapter 4 and verse 22. God spoke and called the people that He had chosen through Abraham. Abraham was called the first Hebrew, therefore the Jewish people, but God chose to call them and to call them His son. And the reason is because of the application in the Word of God to the firstborn or to the first chosen, to those that God in His providence has chosen to set aside for His great purpose and His great glory. Jesus Christ, though, was the greatest son. Isaiah chapter 41 and verse 8. Three servants are mentioned in the book of Isaiah: David in Isaiah chapter 37 and verse 35, Israel in Isaiah 41, 8 through 16, 43, 8, 1 through 10, 44, 1 through 8, 45, verse 4, and 48, verse 20. And then the Messiah mentioned in 42 verses 1 through 12, 50 verses 4 through 6, 52 verses 13 through 15, 53 verses 1 through 12, and of course the passages that we used in the first message about His name. His name would be called Wonderful, if you remember, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. His name would be called Emmanuel. Isaiah chapter 7 and Isaiah chapter 9. And so we find the three servants, the three sons, if you please. You remember that Jesus was promised, according to Luke's gospel, that He would rule and reign one day upon the throne of His father David to establish it forever. And that is yet future, and that will come to pass. Egypt is always a place of bondage. Egypt is a place of slavery. Egypt is a place of debauchery. Egypt is a place of destruction and ultimately death. If you remember, it was because of the famine in Judea to start with that 70 people, the family of Jacob, left and went down into Egypt. You remember that while they were in Egypt, they were bound by the rules. They were bound by the law. They were bound by the standards and the expectations of Pharaoh. And you remember that God heard their cry. For 400 years, they were in Egypt. Four generations, they were in Egypt. But God said, at the end of this period of time, I will call my son out of Egypt. Egypt, as we talked about, is that place where we find separation from God. It is a place where we grow comfortable in our life. We accept the standards of the place where we are living. We accept the conditions. We accept the rules of law, the order. We begin to just become a subject to all that is around us. Much like American Christianity today. Instead of being the vibrant, moving, and alive church today that we should, it seems that in other countries of the world, God is moving in a much greater way than He's moving in America. 175,000 just recently came to Christ in one of our eastern countries of the world. And on we hear in China and in Indonesia and in India and throughout the eastern bloc of our world, we hear of thousands upon thousands upon thousands coming to Christ. Churches are filled across America. There are mega churches across America today that are drawing in masses of people. There are much smaller congregations, even than Dutch Fort, that are drawing in people today. But if we're not careful, if we're not really careful, we will find ourselves comfortable in the Egypt and the surroundings that we find ourselves in. And so God heard the cry of His people. There needs to be a cry today in America. I believe as I preach the Sunday before Thanksgiving, God has given America a reprieve. I believe that God has given the church in America a reprieve. I believe that God is calling you and I as blood-washed, blood-bought, born-again children of God to begin to stand up and to say, "Thus saith the word of the Lord." To begin to speak boldly. To begin to speak confidently and to begin to speak assuredly that God's word is inerrant and that it is infallible and that God lays down certain conditions in His word that He expects you and I to meet. When the children of Israel left Egypt that night, you remember the death angel had passed. And you remember wherever the blood had not been applied on the doorpost and the lintel, you remember there was death in that house. You remember as they left that God had given them favor with the Egyptians. You remember that they had taken gold and silver and all types of precious stones and other matters of wealth and they had brought with them out of Egypt. And that night, as they began that journey to leave Egypt, they came to the Red Sea. And as they came to the Red Sea, you remember they began to murmur, "Moses, what have you done? Have you brought us here to be destroyed by Pharaoh's army?" I want you to listen carefully to what I'm about to tell you because every now and then God gives your pastor a revelation, and this is a revelation. There was one identifying mark that God had given to set His people apart. You remember what it was? It was called circumcision. Now, I want you to understand something this morning. Jesus, because He did not have an earthly father, God was His father, conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit, did not have to be circumcised. But I want you to understand that He was circumcised for you and I so that we would not have to be circumcised. Now listen very carefully. You see, the seed of righteousness must pass through the blood covenant. And when a young male was circumcised at 8 days of age, according to the law, God had so designed that the healing factors would take place and that young male would heal very quickly. If you remember, Mary and Joseph performed every custom according to the law for Jesus. They fulfilled in complete detail every custom of the law. Now, they did not have to do that because Jesus was the perfect Son of God. Therefore, he was not subject to the law. But he became subject to the law, church, for you and I. And that night when they came out of Egypt and they crossed the Red Sea is a picture of circumcision. Now, listen carefully what I'm about to tell you. Don't miss this. This is so important to the rest of this message. Once you're circumcised, you can't go back to be uncircumcised. Once they crossed the Red Sea, they were supposed to go directly into the Promised Land. The Red Sea was to be that barrier. You remember they all came across the Red Sea safely, but you remember what happened to Pharaoh and all of his army? They were destroyed in the Red Sea. The Red Sea was to be a barrier. A barrier so that they could not go back. You see, when God saves you, when God delivers you, when God sets you free from the power of sin in your life, from the presence of sin, and also from the penalty of sin, God never intends for you to go back. It's kind of like being born. You can't reverse it. You can't be unborn. That's why Pastor Johnny believes so strongly in the security of the believer. Jesus said, "You're in my hand, and no man can pluck you out. My Father who gave you to me is greater than all, and no man can pluck you out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one." You can't go back. Never intended for you to go back. So listen to me carefully. God never intended that you and I go into Egypt. Never intended that you and I go into Egypt. So he sent his son into Egypt for us. Hello? Are you listening? He sent his son into Egypt for us. Egypt is a picture of the world. God never intends for you to live in the world. God intends for you to live the abundant, spirit-filled Christian life. When God delivers, he grants his favor. He always does. Even Pharaoh said, "You all going out there and worship him. But while you're going out there to worship him, would you please do something? Would you ask him to favor me?" Well, he did, didn't he? He destroyed Pharaoh and his entire army in the Red Sea. My friend, it's never intended for you to go back. You remember the time they got out of Egypt, though, they went right over into the wilderness, and you remember in less than 40 days they began to murmur. And they complained to Moses and Aaron, and they cried out, "Were there not enough graves in Egypt for us that you've got to bring us out here in this wilderness to die?" I want to ask you a question this morning. How are you facing things that are happening to you in life? How are you dealing with the things that seem to you as maybe unfair? Maybe God hasn't exactly treated you exactly like you wish he had treated you. My friend, listen to me. He has delivered you, and he never intends for you to go back. I'm preaching to the church this morning. If you're a blood-bought, born-again child of God, he has delivered you, and he never intends for you to go back. Now, listen to me. You see, the righteous seed always comes through the blood covenant. Now, listen carefully. So when Jesus Christ fulfilled, when Mary and Joseph, when he was 8 days old, fulfilled the law of circumcision for him, the righteous seed of God the Father is passed to us. Now, that'll make a Baptist shout. I want you to think about it this morning. I want you to take that home and chew on it. God delivers and God grants his favor. But you and I cannot leave Egypt until we are ready to be delivered, until we are ready to be set free. Egypt is always a place of bondage, always a place of destruction, always a place of debauchery, always a place of death. But you can't be set free until you're ready. The bonds and the chains and the things that hold you will never set you free. So when he called his son out of Egypt to fulfill prophecy, he was fulfilling prophecy for you and I, so that every person that confesses with their mouth and believes in their heart the Lord Jesus Christ and that God hath raised him from the dead, the scripture says, shall be saved. Why? Because God can't change his covenant. God will not change his covenant. Even if he could, he won't change it. Why? Because he made a covenant through his son when he called him out of Egypt. So you and I have been called out of Egypt. So whatever you're dealing with in your life this morning, whatever you're facing in your life this morning, whatever bondage, whatever shackle, whatever disbelief of the Word of God, the inerrant, infallible Word of God that is truth without any mixture of error, that is forever settled in heaven, God's Word will never change. Therefore, you are under the covenant. Not only are you under the covenant, you're in the covenant. Because you were conceived by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Through the righteous seed, all the way back, the scripture says, even to Abraham. When God established the covenant, and to be delivered from Egypt and to cross the Red Sea is a picture of that circumcision of the heart in my and in your life that takes place, that the Apostle Paul writes about, that we have been delivered and that we have been set free and that we are no longer in bondage. Listen to me. No matter what's happening in your life right now, there is power that is able to deliver you in the covenant that God made through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, when he sent him down to Egypt and then called him back out of Egypt so you and I do not have to go into Egypt. Yeah, somebody said amen. Y'all shout amen. When you get ready to leave Egypt, God will deliver you. But he can't deliver you until you're ready. In 11 days, they could have been in the promised land. You know what happened while they were in the wilderness? They discontinued the rite of circumcision. And for 40 years, every male that was born in the wilderness was not circumcised. Until one day, God sent a word to Moses, the spiritual leader, and said, this is what you violated. I cannot bless my people until you do it. My friend, listen to me this morning. God cannot bless you if you want to stay in Egypt. Hello? If you want to hold on to the world, if you want to die and be buried in Egypt, God can't bless you. You have tied his hands, and it's impossible for him to bless you. Now, I knew this was going to be a tough message because it was a tough message for your pastor before you ever delivered it. But I want you to think about that this morning. You see, everything that happens in Scripture happens for a purpose. It's not there just for information. It's not there just for us to learn something else about the Christmas story. And I know I'm going at the Christmas story a little backwards. Next Sunday we'll be talking about the wise men and Mary and Joseph. And then the following Sunday, Christmas Day, we'll be talking about Mary and Joseph and the birth in a manger. But it was necessary that we begin with his name. It was necessary last Sunday that we looked at his birthplace, where he was born in Bethlehem, the house of bread, which is the Word of God. Jesus said, I'm the bread, remember? Have you been born in Bethlehem? Have you been called out of Egypt? Yes, you have. You have been called out of Egypt. Listen to me. God's not willing that any should perish, but all come to repentance. That means every individual. I believe in the whosoever will. You may not. You know, you have the choice to be wrong. That's okay. And I say that lovingly to you. And my big argument for that is with Cain. God said, Cain, if you'll do what's right, you'll be accepted. If you don't, you won't. And you remember, he didn't, and he wasn't. So either he lied to Cain, Now listen carefully. If he lied to Cain, then he's lying to us. And the Bible's not true. So let's close up shop, shut down the lights, turn off the electricity. Let's go home. Amen? Now you know better. Therefore, let me ask you a question. Has he called you out of Egypt? Paul says, flee. Flee the unfruitful works of darkness. We are to walk away from all of that that is contrary. We are to grow in the grace and the knowledge and the wisdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus, the greatest Son and the servant, delivers from all destructiveness of sin, from death and from hell and from the grave and from all bondages and from all slavery, from all debauchery and all destruction. My God is able to deliver today. Think about it. But you cannot leave Egypt until you're ready to be delivered. Have you had enough? No. It was comfortable in Egypt. Y'all, it is comfortable in America right now. Yeah. We're not facing persecution. Every now and then we have what we call maybe a terrorist attack that hits a city in our country, and unfortunately, some people lose their lives. But my friend, listen to me. We're not experiencing anything compared to what some countries in the world are experiencing. We're at ease in Zion. We have our faith. As Leon mentioned this morning, isn't this beautiful? I want to thank our committee for a great job. I want to thank for all who took time to place these poinsettias here, for all of you that chose. But listen to me. When all of this is gone, are you going to still be in Egypt? January 1st, it'll all be gone. Are you going to still be in Egypt? Remember what Egypt is? It's your choice this morning. Until the people of God reach the place that they began to cry out and beg and plead with God, God finally heard. Was he deaf? No. He's not deaf. You know better. But you see, they needed to know that they were ready. God's omniscient. He knows all things. He doesn't need to be told anything. But you and I don't know we're ready until we're ready. When we finally say, Lord, I've had enough of this. I've had enough of this bondage. I've had enough of this slavery. I've had enough of this depression, this defeat, this discouragement. Lord, I've had enough. I'm ready to be set free. And I'm ready to live each day unto you. Just one day, Lord. Not tomorrow. Just today. I'm not promised tomorrow. Just today. I want you to think about it now. Why did he call his son out of Egypt? So you and I don't have to stay in Egypt. We can be delivered. We can be set free. God's favor only comes after they were ready to be delivered. God's favor can only come in our lives when we are ready to leave Egypt, to be delivered from the power of sin, from the pleasures of sin, from the penalty of sin. My friend, the choice is yours. Every head bowed and every eye closed.